When we're experiencing something going on with the weather, whether it be a lot of rain or drought, cold weather moving in, or between the months of June and December, we go to our weather forecasters or even our smartphones or tablets to see the pertinent signs to watch for. I know nowadays a lot of people have the weather service on an app on their phones that they can be able to track any storm that might be coming up the coast or up the Gulf or whatever. We depend on these things to alert us of coming changes. In first century Israel, the people didn't have such luxuries. Now, they didn't have phones. Communication was, you run, tell so-and-so, or walk and it'll get done later. They had no luxuries. They depended on things around them, the skies, the winds, and believe it or not, and you might get this, how animals react. Because when a storm's coming, does your dog or cat act a little different? They know. These people, in Jesus' day, were searching for signs. Now Jesus, having just left the temple, which what would probably be the last time that he was there, then went with his apostles to the Mount of Olives, directly across from the Kidron Valley from the Mount of Olives. It was across from the temple, and that magnificent sight was right in front of them. And Jesus prophesied from that very time forward, about 40 years later, in what would come to 70 AD, that the temple would cease to exist, and Jews would be running for their lives from Jerusalem. But he tells his followers, the disciples, the apostles, not to panic. At the end of days was not then, but it would be coming later. And so he adds the prophecy of his second coming later on in what would we call the Olivet Discourse. It's a talk that he gave about the end times from the Mount of Olives. What Jesus said about the stones being strewn down, if you need proof, all you do, now if Marilyn and I lead another trip to Israel, we'll take you by the southern steps of the Temple Mount, and you will see just fresh excavation that has taken place of boulders, of blocks that were a part of the temple that are now and a part of the western wall. You will find them strewn down on a street where Jesus once walked. They know that this street was there in the first century, and all of the debris is on top of it. The temple and the city of Jerusalem would never be the same. They were demolished just as Jesus had predicted, as he had said. The Jews would need to now reconstruct their lives around the law and not the temple and the sacrifices. So they would ask for signs of when this was coming so they would know. But I got to tell you, they got more than they asked for. I find it very interesting that right after these gospel verses, which is Luke 21, verses 5 to 19, in 20 and 21, Jesus clearly prophesies of what's to come for the temple and the Jewish people. He says this, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city." He's talking about the people of Judah. That's where the name Jews come from. They would be scattered into all the world until the United Nations decided to make Israel a country once again. They would be scattered all over the place. And then there are the ones that fled to the mountain fortress near the Dead Sea called Masada. And they would be exterminated by the Romans. Jesus' warnings, believe it or not, are meant to encourage the hearers and the readers, especially his followers, to stay close to the faith and continue to share the truth, not being swayed by false prophets and false messiahs. These warnings are so very, very important that they are recorded in not just Luke chapter 21, but also Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13. They're almost identical. One very important warning is given by Jesus in verse 8 from today's Holy Gospel. He says, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them." We also need to remember the words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 15, verse 16. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Jesus is speaking to the people whom he's called for them to continue in the faith. He's speaking to each one of us, and not to trust the false ones who proclaim to be a Christ or Messiah, which means an anointed one. For he has given the call for us to trust in him, and not in anyone who claims to falsely be him. Please also remember that before too long, the risen Jesus will be adding encouragement for his disciples when he gives what we call the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And he said this, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The promise to never leave or forsake his followers has to be kept close to our hearts, no matter what. Well, the disciples, they weren't dummies. They put two and two together. The warning of the destruction of the temple on one hand, and on the other hand, the evidence of all that Jesus has said and done has come to pass already. Somehow they go with one another. If Jesus has been right all along, then the temple will have to go. But how? And when? When will the world see that Jesus is really God's Messiah, his anointed one, his Christ? When will the world see that we need Jesus? It would take several hundred years, but eventually, even Rome would fall. Mighty Rome that conquered all would go down. And the so-called gods or emperors would be seen as false gods. The truth would be seen. In Greek, the word for truth is aletheia. John 8:32 says about the truth, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The disciples wanted to see Jesus as ruling king. And with all that it would mean, the temple, destruction, and then the ushering in of God's new age, the promises that Jesus had been telling them. They hoped that the present age would come to its inevitable conclusion and the new age would be born. Well, Jesus says the birth pangs of a new age will start in the forms of war, revolutions, famines, and earthquakes. It's not going to be pretty. It hasn't been, has it? See, I just happen to believe that the end time started when the first nail was driven in Jesus' hand. That's when the stopwatch went off. And no one knows the hour of the day but the Father. Terrible times are going to come. And those who follow him, us and others, will be tested, sometimes severely. Unfortunately, will be some who will give it up because it's just too demanding. And they give up the faith. We've seen it. But they shouldn't waver. We shouldn't waver or be deceived. There would be people who claim to be Jesus, as he said, who were not to follow. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Unless it's him, I'm not going. Jesus' followers, then and now, must hold on. Keep their nerve and remain faithful to stand firm in faith. Between the present moment for the disciples and the times when all will be revealed, Jerusalem will be destroyed. The good news of the kingdom of God, which Jesus came to bring, will have to spread, not just around Israel, but to places like Pearson and Waycross and Douglas and Broxton, the whole world. There's much work to be done. This statement holds true for every generation of Christians, believers in Jesus as the Messiah. We too are called to be faithful, to hold on, and to not be alarmed. We too may be called to live through troubled times and to be faithful to the end. We may see destruction of cherished or beautiful symbols. Think about 9/11. Those two beautiful towers. If you ever had the privilege of being up in one of those two towers and then thinking that they're gone, those were marks of economy, of progress. Our calling is to hold onto Jesus, not just the thought of him, but to his very self, in relationship with him, and continue to trust him, to believe that the one who was justified by God in the first century will one day be justified before the whole world. When he comes again on a cloud, everyone will see, and there'll be no doubt, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We too are called to live with those birth pangs of God's new age and to trust that in his good time, the new world will be born, and he will come again to bring it to us. Jesus promises that he will provide what we need during our time of waiting, especially words and wisdom. This promise refers to the times when people will be put on trial for their lives because of their allegiance and belief in Jesus. Think of the early Christians and the persecution that took place, even to Rome, and the horrible treatment to people simply because they followed Jesus. Jesus' warnings were given to encourage his followers in the age to come. And he said this in Luke 21, verses 12 to 14 in today's gospel. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. I only have to think of the book of Acts, when the apostles were arrested, and Peter went before the Sanhedrin and the high priest and testified about Jesus whom you killed. That's just the beginning. Earlier in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said these words, and you should find encouragement in this. When you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you'll say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. We need to remember that these words, just like his promises, are timeless. Wherever and whenever Christians are persecuted for their faith, they need the prayers and support of their fellow believers like us, but also the comfort and encouragement of Jesus' words. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. It may not be here, it may be the life after. And so I close with these words from the brother of Jesus, James, in his epistle, in which he wrote, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.